it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in. Wasn't that long ago where I broached the idea with Marty that we should work on a segment called How Dumb Am I? And boom. Marty, I got to tell
How
you.
How dumb are you? I got to do it. I got to say it.
I am so dumb that this thing is going to gain legs at some point, whether it happens in the preseason or the regular season. I am just in the habit of one-upping myself when it comes to many different things in life that should be otherwise not happening. Anyway, how are you today? We have
well,
a team of the
here's
day.
My, here's my kind of how dumb am I segment for you. So because I'm so dumb, I finished last in my fantasy football league last year, and today's my punishment day. So okay. Because the season starts tomorrow. So I got to spend 12 hours at Barrville. And for every...
what a hardship.
Every cold beverage consumed and every order of wings eaten by myself get knocked off a half an hour. So I'm hoping that I can get that done in 6 or 7 hours. So yeah, so that today is my day because the season starts tomorrow. So I left it to the last possible day to get it done.
If I'm reading between the lines, does this mean you're not going to be in great shape for the show tomorrow?
No, I'll be fine.
Oh, okay.
I'll eat a lot.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm going to go have my one and then eat a ton. So okay. That's the way it goes.
Because either way, like if I drank too much or ate too much here, that would not be good for me. Like for whatever
reason.
You
know what? And producer Jeff says only half an hour. Well, because it's usually like 24 hours in a IHOP or, you know, kind of like a Waffle House. And for every pancakes, you get an hour off. But the Barbell's not open 24 hours. So I can't be there 24 hours. So they just did 12 hours with a half an hour knocking off for everything. So, yes. So,
well, this again goes back to the lead. How dumb am I? I've never heard of any of this that you're talking about, but I don't engage in fantasy sports. So,
I guess we had two kind of punishment for this year. So, either it was going to be the 12 hour thing at Barbell, or because it's a Barbell league, or it was going to be where if the winner of the league is an avid golfer, then you have to be the caddy for a full round for the winner, which they can make you do whatever, right? They can make you shine their shoes, clean all their clubs, whatever. So, and so that just worked out that the Barbell is my punishment. So it's not really a punishment, but yes, it's considered the league punishment.
Yeah. Well, maybe it goes hand in hand with how the NHL used to deal with suspensions, which were generally thought of as at most a slap on the wrist. This does not even feel like it's broaching that territory.
I still remember this Vinny Prospel story where he had said something to a French referee or a French player. It was reported by a French referee, and he was brought into New York to have a little diversity kind of training. And they're like, just enjoy your day in New York. Like, don't say it again. Like, you know, and he's like, because Vinny was great. Like, I love Vinny, but he had no idea. Like, he just, you know, so whatever. They called him in to just have a day in New York and then go back to, at the time, I think he was with Tampa.
Yeah, he ended up having many days in New York.
Yes, with me yes, as a player. So
now it's Rochester. Yes, and Amherst released their promotional schedule yesterday, so check that out at amherst.com. We'll have an Amherst connection.
There's some great promotions too. Like, I mean, we talked about the Sabres, you know, like theme nights and whatever, but Rochester does have some great promotions and themes that everybody should check it out.
Yeah, and I think they always look good on paper, but then you never know in some instances how it's going to play out. For example, the teddy bear toss. Like when you go an entire game without a goal, and then someone scores in a shootout, and then everyone throws them prematurely. That was, I guarantee you, was not in the business development and marketing strategy planning meetings. Like, that turned out to be quite the day, and it's back on the Amex calendar.
I realized yesterday, Duffer, we were talking about Throwback Thursdays and the black and red schedule and season tickets going on sale and all of that.
Single game tickets.
Single game, not season tickets. Single game tickets, I'm thinking, yeah. But that college students' tickets also for select Mondays and Wednesday at $20. So you're a college student and, you know, you want to go with a group on Mondays or Wednesdays, select Mondays and Wednesdays, you can have access to some $20 tickets, which is great. Like, I mean, I remember being high school, right? The price difference was different. We used to have $5 tickets for high school, right? In the for the Nordiques. So we'd buy 10 of us. We'd buy, you know, $5 tickets, we'd go to a game. It was awesome. Well, you know, we're talking about 1992. So it's a little different now. But $20 tickets for select Mondays and Wednesdays is really good for college students.
Well, this is pretty good weaving and segueing, as is the norm for you, because Tampa's the team of the day, and they probably had the cheapest season ticket ever back in the day when they were in the Thunderdome. Oh. I'm pretty sure you could get the whole season for $99. If you sat,
that included two hot dogs and a beer at every game too.
Because it was basically, just show up $2 a game, basically, sit in the highest level and just see what this is all about. So I could be misremembering, but I think that's exactly what it was. So
they started at the fairgrounds, if I remember.
Yeah, Expo Hall. Right?
The Expo Hall, and then they went to the big stadium, and then they ended up.
That's where they had their first playoffs against Philadelphia.
Yeah, it was like basically. Think of it in that way. Like if you had a big indoor stadium and you just used a corner of it for the hockey games, right? They had temporary, bleachers or, you know, seats on one side and then the bowl on the other side. And the players, like, they had a long walk to get from the locker room all the way to that end. So yes, I do recall those pictures. It was pretty, but Tampa, I mean, when they came into the league, it was like, oh, okay, well, the Tampa Bay Lightning, right? It's let's see what they've got. And I feel like they've really put their stamp, like, from the beginning. Starting in 1993, they've had some good success and some good players in Tampa Bay.
Okay, we're in on our team of the day, and they have made the playoffs in 11 of the last 12 years under John Cooper. Three straight first-round defeats after three straight Stanley Cup final appearances, of which they won two. Did you know that in the only season John Cooper's Lightning missed the playoffs, they finished the year 8-1-1 and missed by a single point behind Toronto and Boston? That's incredible. But beyond that, all of their success, Cooper's success, the team's success, and they were the highest scoring team in the league last year and had another 100-point season. The only question, other than how dumb am I, that I wanted to lead the show with today, so you have to listen carefully, Marty. This is the question of the day. This is for everybody to
question
chime
of the
in
day.
At Sabres Live. How many teams would trade places with Tampa today? It doesn't come with any history. It's this current roster. How many teams in today's 32-team NHL would trade places with Tampa today?
So when I was writing the roster down and the players that they have, the seasons that those players have had, especially last year, but the last few years, I thought to myself, I was thinking Tampa was on its way out. And there's no way Tampa is on its way out. That roster is good. I would go in and say there's probably 20, at the very least 25 teams that would trade places with Tampa in their roster right now.
Really? I have not done the math. That's why I simply asked the questions. So if anybody else wants to go through it team by team, we could. Producer Jeff definitely will. I know that. So before the end of the show,
if there's 25, that means there would be like seven teams that would say no, right? And I think
there's way more. I think they are way more middle of the road once people dive deeper.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Because of what I just said. They lost in the first round 3 years in a row. Their current roster is not getting better. Is it really good? 100%. Can it get better? How is John Cooper going to tweak this? They've been eliminated by the Panthers in five games each of the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. What are you going to get more from Brandon Hagel other than like maybe he's going to be wearing a gold medal at some point? Like he's already playing for Team Canada. He's up to 90 points of the year, a year. Is Brandon Hagel going to score 50 and 110? He can't get any better. Jake Guentzel's Jake Guentzel. Kucherov is Kucherov. Point is point. The goaltending is the goaltending. Hedman is Hedman, but he's older. How are they getting any better? There's no chance this team gets better this year
I'm
under
bullish
John Cooper.
On the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I love the Lightning. How are they going to get better?
How are they going to get Vesely's?
Their bottom
is
six of their forwards is not going to improve this team.
After the back surgery, Vasilevskiy has been back to Vasilevskiy. Last year it was back
and
to
they got
second
whitewashed
in the
by the Panthers.
I get it. The Panthers are one of the team that would probably say we are not trading places with Tampa. But if somehow Tampa had played Toronto in the first round,
they
or
lost
whatnot,
to them 3 years ago.
I know they did. It was game seven. Vasilevskiy couldn't
six
see.
Six in that one.
Was it six?
They beat Toronto in seven prior, but they lost in six.
But that was when Vasilevskiy was like, what do I need? Like X-ray goggles? Because they were saying he couldn't see through screens or whatever. But I look at Vasi and I'm like, man, he played the second most games in a season in his whole career last year with 63. He was second in Vezina voting. He hadn't been in the top five since 2021. So, you know, there had been a drop-off every year, and then he gets the back surgery, plays half a year, average, but last year was unbelievable. Kucherov, yes, he went down from 144 points to 121. I take 121 any day of the week. Point is still 40 goals. Guentzel was 80 points. I look at their roster, and I'm like, I think they've got a good – really, really solid team.
Agreed. But how are
they
going to get better?
They were better than 2 years ago.
They can't get better. Look at their bottom six. Their bottom six is not good. And if you were going to fix the team and try to say, okay, we've lost to Florida 2 years in a row. There's only so much we can do. We have to. I think their defense core is maybe not as good as last year. And I'm not going to keep harping on it, but I don't. Sure. Can their top guys outscore other teams? Yeah, four or five of them can, but the rest of them aren't going to.
And that's why they've been playing 11 and 7 a lot, where they just want to rotate their top players up front more often, give them more ice time. I think that adding Bjorkstrand last year was good.
It didn't help. That's the point.
I think it will this year. Like, I'm looking at this player and I say, okay, I think it will this year.
But at best, he's a 55-point guy.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's
and he's on their top two lines. If he was a 55-point guy and he was on the third line, I would be viewing their depth a little differently. But the depth charts I'm looking at right now have him on the second line.
I thought, I have him on the third line only because you can move some players up and down and whatever. Where is Gord playing? Where right now are you playing Yanni Gord as a fourth liner or third liner? You move him around. But 2 years ago, they were 98 points, and I thought for sure they were a team that would probably drop to 94, 95 and be at, you know, maybe in the wild card position. No, instead they went from 98 to 102 and second in the Atlantic just to have to play the Florida Panthers, who didn't care and finished third. And, well, maybe the reason why they finished third is because they didn't have Matthew Tkachuk late in the season. They didn't have Brent Marchand. He missed some time after acquiring him. And we will talk about some new changes in the CBA this year. Going ahead with playoff and playoff caps, but who knows if Florida last year's Florida would be able to do the same thing this year in the transaction that they made, and if Tampa would take advantage of the situation now. But I think they're pretty good. I like their coach, John Cooper, although it's year 14, right? That's a lot of time to be listening 13. To the same. He's been there 13 years. Yeah. So this will be year 14. I mean,
Oh, did he miss before they started? Yeah, okay. So
yeah,
anyway, he's made the playoffs 11 of the last 12. So
11 of the last 12, yeah. So, but he came in and only coached like a few games in the one season and then, you know, took over. So anyway, but he's a really good coach. But how much do you still get the message from having been with a coach for, you know, 12, 13, 14 years? I feel like Tampa is doing good with that. And he's definitely one of the most successful coaches in all of the NHL. Like you think of,
he is the most successful in his tenure, in his current reign. There is no one comparable.
No. And then you obviously now have to consider like, okay, who are the greatest coaches of all time? And you think of Scotty Bowman and Al Arbor, and, you know, you can probably think of Glenn Seder, you know, with the Oilers or whatnot, but I think John Cooper is in that category. But when I did the research today on the Lightning and their coaching and all of that, I was having a hard time remembering who was the last coach before John Cooper.
Really? So,
yeah. I was like,
he's like one of the most famous guys, Guy Boucher.
He is Guy Boucher. And I should know that because I know Guy well, and I've always talked to him. And then he went to... He went to Ottawa and then a little in Toronto, and he's coaching in the KHL right now. But could you name all the coaches, the nine coaches that the Tampa Bay Lightning have had since 1993?
Well, I could because it's on the screen in front of me, so I won't bore you.
Well, it's I probably was going to be able to name six of them.
Yeah.
Like when I thought about it, I'm like, okay, Terry Crisp was the very first coach. I can name him. Funny enough, I Rick Tocchet, Guy Boucher, John Cooper, Tortorella, Dave, definitely. So there's four or five right there. Mm-hmm. Barry Melrose was one that I remember because I was in Philly and we made a trade with the Lightning at the start of the season when Melrose was coaching. And obviously we remember Melrose and Steven Stamkos and all that happened there. Melrose gets fired in season. So those were the ones.
After 16 games.
After 16 games.
He was only two games under 500.
And, I mean, that was his first job after the LA Kings. Uh-huh. Like he went, you know, to the finals with Gretzky and the Kings, then took the job at ESPN, only to want to return to coaching, and it lasted 16 games in the 2009-2010 season. So, yeah, that was, or was it 08-09? But anyway.
08-09, yeah.
08-09, yes. Mm-hmm. So it was, I remember we traded Steve Eminger to the Lightning, and we got Matt Carl from Tampa.
Yeah.
And Melrose went out to dinner with a couple of his old buddies from ESPN and people that worked in the business. And not knowing, you know, what the trade was, you know, Melrose asks kind of, what do you think of Eminger? And the Flyers reported I was there says, oh, my gosh, he can't turn left. He's a terrible player. And this, that, the other thing. And Melrose goes, we just traded for him. So, yeah, so that was a bit of a tough situation right there. But, yeah, but one that I had totally forgot was Jacques Demers. Jacques Demers was there for 2 years in the late 90s. Obviously, that was after winning the Cup with Montreal in 93, and he was there for a couple of years. So I had totally forgotten about Jacques Demers with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Well, I had totally forgotten about the end of season cameo by Cooper after Boucher was let go. So allow me to just, both of us are right here, but let me just say, this is John Cooper's 13th full season as a head coach with the Lightning. And he's made the playoffs in 11 of 12. Because I was like, there's no way he missed the playoffs another time. And he didn't, because he inherited the mess from Boucher, and that's why they lost.
The mess. Do you remember the whole sitting back? Like that game against the Philadelphia Flyers where
the
Tampa
torpedo?
Bay Lightning was that?
Wasn't that the torpedo?
No, it was the 1-4 or the 1-3-1 where they would sit in the neutral zone, Tampa would with Guy Boucher and Kimmo Timonen with the Flyers after the opening faceoff. Mm-hmm. Flyers won the draw. He backed inside his zone and hung on to the puck, and nobody was forechecking. Tampa was like in the 4-1 in the neutral zone, and the referee's yelling at Kimmo, move the puck. And Kimo's looking over to the referee, goes, well, tell him to forecheck. And he's like having a whole like, but that was Guy Boucher. And I love Guy. And I think there was some, a little bit of the, you know, the Craig Ramsey and his thinking of the game. How can you take advantage of certain, but he went a little too far with this one, not having anybody forecheck, and the Flyers was just sitting back.
True or false? The Tampa Bay Lightning have more points than any other team since John Cooper's first full season coaching the Lightning.
So that first full season was what?
2013? A playoff year. That's what I'm. That's what I'm impressing upon you here. That John doesn't miss the playoffs except for that one time by a single point. So.
Yeah, I will say true. They have more points.
False. Boston has four more points over that time, and they're about to use their fifth coach. Well, Tampa.
But
has.
I knew you were gonna. You were asking the question, knowing that there was a trap there. I'm like, I couldn't think of who that other team would be, and true. So that was a problem.
True or false? Braden Point is underappreciated as one of the game's top five goal scorers.
True.
That is absolutely true. Because in the last 3 years,
go ahead.
Pasternak, Dreisaitl, Matthews, and Point. That's four. Those are the top four goal scorers. Those four are separated by a mere 12 goals, one through four. Braden Point is in that group. And if you want to take it a step further, Braden Point is second to Leon Dreisaitl in game-winning goals over that time. And oh, by the way, would the Lightning have won three straight Stanley Cups had Braden Point only played, had Point played more than just the nine games in the year they were going for the three-peat. He was injured in the Toronto series after scoring the overtime winner in game six, came back in the Stanley Cup final for a couple of series opening losses. They lost in six to the Avalanche. I would be willing, and I never do this because I never go back in time, because what's the point? You can't change anything. But I would be willing to bet that Braden Point would have made a difference, and the Lightning may, in fact, be three-peat holders had he been healthy.
I think that could have been very much the case. I remember seeing Braden Point, and I'm looking at his elite prospect right now. So we're talking about the 2015-2016 World Juniors team. That had Mitch Marner and Dylan Strome on the team before they departed for the tournament. I, with TSN, went to Toronto to do a little, like, kind of fun video. And I put the gear on. I was just 2 years removed from playing. I put the gear on, and I took breakaways from every single player of Team Canada's World Juniors roster. They all were doing some stuff on the ice, promotional stuff, and they were taking breakaways for a video. And the highlight was supposed to be Dylan Strome and Mitch Marner having a little bit of a competition, but everybody did. And Braden Point came in his shootout attempt, skating 100 miles an hour straight down the ice at me and scored. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like, everybody's slow and trying to show their skills and doing, like, the, you know, the fancy stuff. And Point was straight down, meat and potatoes, down the middle, scored. And I look over, I'm like, do that again. And he came down, straight down the middle, 100 miles an hour, scored. And I'm like, this guy has something special. He wasn't one of their top guys. Like, it was Marner and Strome and whatever, but he had something special. And obviously, we can tell now because he had 51 goals 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you know, a couple of 40 goal seasons. Like, he's been so good.
He's amazing. And what has that got them in the last 3 years other than a first round exit? So in the break, you're going to answer the question.
Oh.
Which, like, who, how many teams would trade places with Tampa? You're going to go through the league and you're going to come up with a number.
Okay.
I mean, you may withhold the identity, you know, witness protection for some of those teams that don't want to trade places. I don't know. Maybe. I'm just kidding. But anyway.
We're thinking, like, right now moving forward for this year, not like.
Yeah. There's no history attached. You don't get the Lightning Cups. You don't get the banners. You don't get their arena. You don't you know, you don't get all the sellouts.
You don't get the arena. You don't get the great location.
You're inheriting this lineup and playing neutral site games forever.
Okay. I'm gonna write down for myself the teams, but I'll just give you a number at the end. I'll start from the bottom. That'll be easier.
Yes. That's a very good place to start. But it's also interesting just in perception.
Yes.
Because numbers get attached to teams, i.e. age. And then you have to ask the real question, does age really matter? Because largely, most teams in the league are separated by like a year and a half or two at the most. It's so minimal. And you could go through age last year and see that it didn't work for many and it worked for some. So we'll answer more on Tampa. We'll get more specific into their roster. And because Marty is a big John Cooper fan, as am I, we will try to dive in a little deeper as to like what could John Cooper do here or reasonably expect to coax out of this lineup to make it feel like it's better than the Panthers and better than everybody in their division at the very least. Sabres are joining forces with Topps Friendly Markets to wind down the summer. We've got tour stops, including one tonight, 255 Orchard Park Road in West Seneca. It's from 4:30 to 7:30. You can spin a prize wheel for fun giveaways. Enter an exclusive sweepstakes for home opener tickets and signed jerseys and test your skills at the inflatable hockey shot. Visit sabres.com/tour for full details. Tampa's the team of the day. We're back after this.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Consistently good to great, the Tampa Bay Lightning are our team of the day. Marty has done the math. I might have been overselling this question, overhyping the question. How many teams would trade places with Tampa today? You don't get their recent history. You don't get any of their history. You just have to take their roster moving forward, recognizing that there's 2 years left for Kucherov on his current deal. And you have a lot of players who are locked up for quite a while. But by today's standards, they might be aging up just a little bit. Could be one of the top five oldest teams in the league this year. But again, there was very little difference in age between them and the Panthers last year, and the Panthers have won two consecutive Stanley Cups. So, Marty, what do we think?
I've got 19 teams that would trade places right now.
That's pretty good. That's a large percent. Now, without divulging the names of those teams,
yes,
what is the criteria that you're most fixated on when looking at this, recognizing that clearly as the number one scoring team in the NHL last year, the Tampa Bay Lightning still have star power and offense and an elite goaltender and a Norris Trophy winning defenseman in his day in Victor Hedman. So what when you're doing a very, very quick side by side of Tampa and team XYZ, what's the determining factor?
Well, I mean, yes, you're right. When you look at, they were first in goals for, fourth in goals against, fifth on power play, sixth in penalty kill this year. Tampa is a good team. But, okay, moving forward, I'm like, for example, the Edmonton Oilers. I'm just going to use the Oilers. Okay, would I trade my roster with McDavid, Draisaitl for this year, Evan Bouchard and all that, for the Tampa Bay Lightning roster?
No.
The easy answer is no. Now, I'm thinking, oh, well, yeah, could I have Vasilevsky instead of Stuart Skinner and all of that? And then it made me think that, would I want to do it just because of that? But the easy answer is no. Mm-hmm. So I think it has to be like, if it's not an easy no, then it becomes a debate. And if it's a debate, then it's, do I think Tampa and their roster will be a better team this year? We live in the now. I don't care in 3 years from now and 4 years from now so much as at now. So that's what I was looking at.
But you do have to care about that. That's why you would trade with Tampa today, because it's not just for this season. You're inheriting them today and all the contracts that many of which have term. Yes. So let me ask the question a different way. What's their window for this core in Tampa to win? And do you honestly think that if things line up their way and Kucherov starts to resemble, and even point to a lesser extent, but if they resemble the goal scorers they were, during their heyday of three consecutive trips to the final and two cup wins. Like, what would have to happen for this Tampa team to win another Stanley Cup?
I mean, you're right when you talk about the depth. When you look at being able to add, like, the reason why the Lightning were so dominant is because they had a third line that had, you know, Barkley Goodrow, Yanni Gourde, Blake Coleman, and it was like, okay, you're having a
Andre an element Palat of depth. And
Andre Palat,
Alex Killorn are the Killorn, two critical like, pieces.
So
yeah,
you had that depth. So if they were able to find the depth through some younger players, then I think your window, I think the window is still 4 years.
Okay.
Oh, I just hit my button again.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I touch the wire, you know what that is. So I'm.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back now. I think the window is still 4 to 5 years. When I look at Kucherov being 32, I think he could probably still go another 4 to 5 years. Points 29, Gensel's 30, Hagel's 27. I think there's still 4 to 5 years. I think Vasilevsky is still going to be a top end goaltender for another 4 to 5 years. So that's where it is. Yeah, the Oilers, I'm saying no. Vegas, I'm saying no. Dallas, LA, Colorado, Florida, I'm saying no. These are the easy ones. Toronto, I'm saying no. I don't want to trade place with Tampa right now. But that was where it starts to be debatable, right? Like, they just lost Mitch Marner. Like, where is Toronto going? So
Toronto's better.
Toronto's better. I have them, and I'm not trading my roster with them. But there was...
No, I don't. Yeah, I wasn't meaning a direct comparison with Tampa. I think they're it would be kind of moot to make the trade, in my opinion. But I do think the Leafs are going to be better in the long run here without Marner. So
yeah,
call me crazy.
Like, when you get to like St. Louis, New Jersey, I think New Jersey is better. So I put them in the no, I'm not doing the trade. But even Ottawa, I'm not sure. Would I take
really?
Ottawa in the next 4 or 5 years or Tampa the next 4 or 5 years?
I'd take Tampa.
You take Ottawa, you mean?
No, I'd take Tampa.
In the next 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
So I put Ottawa in the I would trade the roster. Like, I would take Tampa's roster instead of Ottawa's roster.
Remind me to never ask this question again, because we could just run ourselves in circles here.
What about St. Louis? We just did St. Louis as team of the day. Like, St. Louis has got, but St. Louis at some point yet last year were a team that I don't know if they were going to make it. They had an unbelievable finish.
Well,
would I take Tampa over the St. Louis Blues roster?
Yes, I would.
Okay, so you were on the same page as I was. So I'm at 19 to 20 teams that would trade with Tampa right now.
Don't remember, the Lightning are involved in one of our more infamous closing segments of the summer. Remember the night I asked you about the big trade the night before between Tampa and Edmonton?
I had no idea. Well, no, I read the trade wrong.
You mixed the particulars.
So let me ask you, what
kind of impact do you think Sam O'Reilly is going to have on the Lightning organization?
Not on my sheet now. So,
but if it happens within a year, then all of a sudden, because look, this is an organization that has been allergic to draft picks. They still don't have like first rounders next year and the year after. So they have to hope that whatever they have accumulated 25 and under that's in their system somehow makes like an impact here to help out this bottom six.
So who is the guy that went the other? Isaac Howard?
Correct.
So Ike, he goes by Ike now. He doesn't want to be called Isaac. That's what it was. I had read the whole thing wrong. But you know what? The Lightning still have about $1 million in cap space this year. Which is something that they are always at the cap. They've been kind of working their way in circumventing some of that cap for a little bit. Not going to happen anymore because of the new rule. You're gonna have to have a cap compliant roster in the playoff. But they have a little bit of wiggle room, which they really didn't have a lot of over the last few years.
Mm-hmm. I'm being reminded of their. Sorry, Jeff. I don't understand this last season. Did the Sabres lose 2 out of 3? You don't have who won here.
Yes, they lost 2 out of 3.
This
they
is
lost
us against them, in a crazy as opposed game to them where, against... It's Tampa, the team of the day, not Buffalo, Jeff. Come on.
I know, but this is being run. So the Sabres went in a shootout 3-2, but lost 6-5 and 7-4. Do you remember the 6-5 game?
Yes, of course, because they had a huge lead, and they were... And we talked about this
game,
recently.
Right?
Vasilevsky got lifted, and they still ended up winning the game.
Yeah. And then 4 times this year, the Sabres and Tampa, but not until... February.
I was going to say, why are we even talking about them? We're not even going to see them till February.
We see them once before the Olympic break and then 3 times in the last month of the season, month and a half.
And that funny quirk with Florida Tampa is they have 2 sets of back-to-back games against the Panthers and Lightning in that month of February, right before the break and then right coming out of it. And those are your road games in Florida this year. So it was a difficult season series, to say the least, against the Lightning in situations where Buffalo could have been much more successful. But you did mention, unless there's something else that you really want to hammer home.
I think key additions, Pontus Holmberg, and key subtractions, Nick Perbix. That's all that Tampa really did this summer.
Yeah, I mean, Perbix, I think, is an upgrade for the Predators. Yeah. So if I'm considering him that, then that's probably why I think that the Lightning maybe aren't as deep as I would like them to be on the blue line, but we'll see. There's still plenty of time between now and opening night.
Yeah.
And based on something you said yesterday, it had me wondering, because you were not particularly bullish on the draft class of 2025, having many candidates being ready to step in. And this is not an indictment of the 25 class. It's probably how most people feel. But I was thinking about it the other way. What if some surprising members from this recent class of 2025 and or other recent high picks that aren't necessarily on many popular website depth charts right now?
Mm-hmm.
What if there's a great youth movement in the preseason? And because a lot of teams have not done a lot, especially to their bottom six, right? What if some of these players have great preseasons, come up, and force decisions? And what I'm getting at, think of the number of veteran players that could be placed on waivers. If that's the case, and because so many teams have a lot of cap space. You know how you get in that mindset in October and you set the roster and it's like, oh, we're not going to do anything. No, don't have room, whatever, whatever. There's going to be a lot of teams sitting there right before setting the opening night roster with a lot of cap space. Yeah. And all of a sudden, somebody else's $2 million veteran who just got nudged out by a prospect might be available. Do you see a window here where we might have a more active waiver wire before the season begins?
Well, I think that it could happen before the season begins. And early in the season, there could be some more movement. I really feel this year is going to be different over the past years because of, you know, it was announced yesterday that there's going to be a progression into the rule changes into the CBA, right? But some of them are taking place this year where there will be a playoff cap this season. I thought when they had agreed upon the new CBA starting in 26-27, I thought the playoff cap won't be for another year. So teams will be able to do what they usually do is try to accrue some salary cap, get a big time player at the deadline, and boom, you're $4 or $5 million over the cap in the playoffs. That won't be the case this year because your 20 skaters in the playoffs will have to be under the $95.5 million cap this season.
Mm-hmm.
So the movements, I think, and the trades and the waiver wires and all of that will be happening more at the start of the season or in the first 2 months of the season, I believe, than later in the season. Because what good does it do to you to acquire a $6 million player late February where you say, well, he's only costing us $2 million on the cap for the rest of the season? Yeah, but he will cost you the full six in the playoffs.
Right.
And so that is going to be a different approach. Some teams may say, I don't care if we're going to be maybe over the cap in the playoffs. We'll adjust. Mm-hmm. But we need to make the playoffs. So some teams will go all in and try to acquire players. Some teams may not. But I feel like the player movement will be more early in the season because of that little wrinkle than later in the year, because teams won't see the advantage to do it later in the year.
You think we'll ever get full disclosure as to why a player is not playing in the playoffs? Instead of upper body, lower body, it says cap hit, too big.
It could be. Like last year, if the Florida
makes
Panthers...
too much, can't play tonight.
The Florida Panthers would not have been able to ice the same team in the playoffs like this upcoming year compared to last year. So you go and acquire Marchand and you go and get this and that. You probably would have had to sit some money in the playoffs. So, yes, I think there's going to be like, what would they call it? Roster management, cap management, like playoff cap management. There will be some of that happening.
Any other NHL news that you wanted to get in that is CBA related? I'm sure your curiosity is piqued by many of these little bits of minutia.
The no double salary retention is coming into effect this
year.
Oh,
we've spent so many shows talking about that.
Well, you know, fans always say, how can the Sabres weaponize their cap space and be a third party into a trade? We're not going to talk about it anymore because you can't be a third party into a trade anymore. It's not going to happen. And this, again, was, I thought it was going to be in a year from now. No, it's starting this year. Mm-hmm. So that is another wrinkle. Like, I don't want to hear on social media, well, Sabres should, weaponize their $4.5 million and facilitate, get a second round pick to facilitate a trade.
Yeah.
Can't happen anymore.
You didn't go full social media voice there. I'm disappointed.
No, I was
work
kind.
On that.
there was
a sliver, Jeff. You're right. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. Birthdays and more to get to. Maybe Marty's got.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got some new endorsements in the offing. We'll see. It's next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Thanks to HockeyReference.com, I now know the full name of this man who is the only one to ever captain and general manage the Buffalo Sabres. Happy 79th birthday to Gerald Marcus Meehan today. Jerry Meehan.
Oh, Gerald Marcus. I love it. I never would have guessed that combination. But Jerry Meehan, happy birthday. Great man. And... the work that he's done for the players, the alumni, the Sabres, yep. Alexander Mogilny, like everything, just amazing. Dominic Hasek, amazing.
In Sabre history, the late Brian Spinner Spencer was born on this day. Rob Kahn also on this day. Now, Rob played 28 games in the NHL with the Sabres, largely in the 95-96 season. He's actually an Amherst legend. He played 1 year that year with the Amherst, which was their last Calder Cup championship. And beyond the likes of Sharon and Holzinger and Dixon Ward, like Rob Kahn had a year, like regular season and playoffs combined. He played 55 games. He scored 29 goals and 50 points in those.
Dane Jackson was there. Team. Steve Shields in net, and they beat Portland in the finals.
They did.
Ron Tugnutt was playing for the Portland Pirates.
So Rob only played that 1 year with the Amherst. He had played 1 year previously in Springfield, I think it was, and won the Calder Cup there. He had back-to-back Calder Cup championships. All right, what do you got here in the final?
Okay, 90? So just quickly on the CBA, we talked about the playoff cap and the no double salary retention. And we all know our good friends, Pierre LeBrun, has been making a LeBrun plan for the NHL that wants to see the season actually start in September and hopefully end by June 1st. Well, it will not end by June 1st, but the 26-27 calendar will start late September. So we will have regular season hockey in late September in a year from now. So not yet this year. It starts October the 7th. Mm-hmm. The Sabres play on the 9th. But in a year from now, when it goes to 84 games and reduced playoff games, it will start in September, and it will go all the way until mid-June, though. It will be a longer season when you consider the amount of days.
Nice. Quick correction. Conn was with Albany the year before he played with Rochester in the
River Rats.
And, yes. And great hockey hair. Go to Rob's Hockey DB profile.
Hockey
just
hair.
Awesome hockey hair.
Better than Barry Melrose and his 14 games with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
What else did we get wrong? I don't know if we have time to review everything in the course of the show, but we know this. It's a short work week, Marty. Tomorrow's already Thursday. Looking forward to it right here on Sabres
Throwback
Live.
Thursdays.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.